Welcome to Carmen Madrid's podcast. Are you preparing for the Delhi B2 or C1 exam? This podcast is made just for you. Carmen Madrid is an accredited examiner from the Instituto Cervantes and your new tutor for this exam. Each episode features a conversation between two speakers generated using advanced AI technology. These conversations are about a previous episode of a Spanish podcast on the Delhi B2 and C1 exams. But that's not all. We offer a range of services to support your learning journey. One-on-one and group Spanish classes, books for Delhi preparation to help you study effectively, exclusive access to the News Club and Reading Club, plus our advanced grammar workshop to deepen your understanding of Spanish. You can find everything at DelhiExam.com. Join us in taking your Spanish to the next level. I'll leave you with my AI friends. Enjoy.
So our mission today basically is to tackle a pretty intense topic, the DELE B2 oral examination.
Yeah, it's definitely high stakes for Spanish learners.
Absolutely. And we want to give you, you know, the strategic roadmap you really need, especially if you're serious about getting that B2 certification. The pressure's on, right? Time is tight.
It really is. And we're zooming in on, well, a foundational part of it, Teoria 1, the evaluation of proposals, la valoración de las propuestas.
Okay.
And this isn't just like, can you speak Spanish? It's about showing that B2 level thinking, organizing your thoughts, sounding fluid.
And crucially, evaluating things, advantages, disadvantages.
Exactly. That's the key difference at this level. Analysis, not just description.
Okay, good point. Let's set the scene then before we dive into Teoria 1 itself. Yeah. What does the whole oral test even look like? The structure.
Right. So the whole thing is super quick, just 20 minutes, start to finish.
Wow, 20 minutes.
Yeah. And it's split into three tasks. Task one, the proposals. That's our focus. Task two is where you tell a story based on a photo you choose.
Okay.
And then task three, that one's unprepared. You comment on like a survey or some stats they show you right there. No prep time for that one.
Okay. But for tasks one and two, you do get prep time.
Yes. Vital prep time. You get 20 minutes before you even walk into the exam room.
In a separate room.
Yep. A separate room. Just for task one and two. And in that time, you have to make a couple of choices.
Okay. So for task one, choice number one is the topic, right? They give you two options.
Exactly. You pick one of two topics, maybe, you know, traffic problems versus school environmental projects, something like that.
And the same for task two. You pick one of two photos.
Correct. And that choice itself is kind of strategic. You need to think fast which topic, which photo lets me use the Spanish I know best.
Right. Not necessarily the most interesting topic, but the one you can talk about better.
Precisely. Where can you show off more complex language? That's the goal.
Makes sense. Okay, so during those 20 minutes, you're scribbling notes like mad, I assume. What are the rules there? Can you write out a whole speech?
Good question. No, you absolutely cannot. You can write detailed notes and outline keywords, connectors.
Bullet points, maybe.
Bullet points are perfect, but the examiners need to hear you speak, not read. You can glance at your notes, sure. Find a word, check a structure.
But not read sentences word for word.
Definitely not. That's a quick way to lose points. It has to be an oral performance.
Got it. So key vocabulary, maybe some useful phrases, connectors, but no full script.
Exactly. Think signposts, not sentences. And they do help with timing during prep. You get warnings.
Oh, yeah.
And 10 minutes left and then 5 minutes left. So you can kind of pace yourself between prepping task one and task two.
That's helpful. Okay, prep time's up. You walk into the exam room and there are two examiners waiting. Why two?
Yeah, it's all about fair grading, really.
Yeah.
You have examiner one, who's the interlocutor.
Yeah.
The interviewer.
The one who talks to you.
Right. They guide you through the tasks, ask the questions, try to make it feel a bit like a conversation. Theoretically, anyway.
The examiner two.
Examiner two is the calificador, the rater. They're silent.
Just watching.
Watching and grading. Analytically, they have a detailed score sheet looking at fluency, coherence, grammar range, vocabulary. They don't talk, just assess objectively.
Okay, that structure makes sense. Let's talk scores then, because that's the bottom line, isn't it? How does the final grade break down?
Okay, so it's weighted. 40% of your final oral grade is holistic. That's the overall impression the interviewer gives after the whole 20 minutes.
Kind of a general vibe score.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you communicate effectively overall? And the other 60% is analytical. That's the detailed grading from the rater task by task.
And task one, the proposals, we're focusing on how big a slice of that 60% is it?
It's huge. Task one alone accounts for 35% of that total analytical score.
Wow. Okay, so more than a third of the detailed marks come from this 1 6-7 minute task.
Exactly. Nail task one, and you're in a really strong position for the whole oral exam. It sets the tone.
Right. Before they jump into task one, though, there's usually a bit of warm-up. icebreakers.
Yeah, a few quick questions just to ease you in, maybe calm the nerves a bit. Simple stuff.
Like where you're from?
Yeah, where you're from, why you're learning Spanish, standard things.
Mm-hmm.
And one mandatory question they have to ask.
Which is?
Whether you prefer to use to or instead during the exam.
Ah, the formality level.
Right. They need to know so they can address you comfortably and appropriately. It respects your preference.
Okay, makes sense. Formality's done. Then boom, task one starts. 6 to 7 minutes total, you said. And it has two parts.
Two distinct phases, yeah. Phase one is the monologue.
Your turn to talk, uninterrupted.
Exactly. For about 2 to 3 minutes, this is where you present your ideas on the proposals from the sheet, the lamina, that you chose during prep.
2 to 3 minutes isn't very long to cover several proposals.
It flies by. This is why structure is so important.
And then right after the monologue comes phase two.
Correct. Phase two is the conversation. About 3 to 4 minutes. Here, the interviewer joins in, asks questions about the proposals you just discussed. It becomes interactive.
Got it. Let's focus on that lamina. The sheet with the proposals. It sets up a problem, right? Like traffic.
Yeah, problematic situation. Traffic congestion is a classic example. Wasting time, money, pollution, parking nightmares.
And then it lists, what, 5 to 7 possible solutions?
Usually around that number, yeah.
Yeah.
Like for traffic, maybe put in bike lanes, raise car taxes, build park and ride facilities, ban cars downtown, subsidize public transport. Things like that.
And in your monologue, the minimum requirement is?
You must talk about at least 4 of those proposals.
4. Okay. You can do more, but 4 is the baseline.
Right. And crucially, going back to what we said earlier, you can't just list them.
You have to evaluate them. Pros and cons.
Precisely. That's the B2 skill. Don't just say bike lanes are good. Say why. Implementing bike lanes, Fantasia, could significantly improve health and reduce short trip car use, but Devantaja, it might require removing parking spaces, which could anger local businesses. That
it's
balance.
Showing you see both sides.
Yes. That balanced critical perspective is what they're listening for.
Which makes structure absolutely critical in that short monologue. And I like that framework you mentioned. The oral sandwich helps visualize it.
It really does, because your monologue needs that clear structure.
Mm-hmm.
Introduction, development, conclusion. If it's just a jumble of ideas, you lose marks on coherence.
So the introduction, that's the top slice of bread.
Exactly, the top bun. Briefly introduce the general topic and the specific problem from your lamina. Act as if the interviewer knows nothing about it.
Keep it short.
Very short. Maybe 1 or 2 sentences. Have a general phrase ready, like, okay, the situation I chose concerns the problems of. Something
okay.
Adaptable.
Then the development. That's the main part. The filling.
That's the core. Yeah, the layers of cheese and ham, let's say. This is where you discuss your minimum 4 proposals, 1 by 1.
And the structure for each proposal is?
Clear signaling. First, reference the proposal regarding the idea of raising car taxes or as for building peripheral parking.
Signpost it.
Yes. Then give your evaluation. State your opinion, highlighting advantages and/or disadvantages. Use those connectors.
And repeat that for at least 4 proposals.
Repeat the pattern. Reference, evaluate next. Reference, evaluate next. Minimum 4 times.
And to really show off that B2 level complexity within those evaluations, what kind of language helps?
Think beyond simple sentences. Use conditionals. If we did this, then that might happen. Use subjunctive for possibilities or recommendations. It would be advisable that. Use cause and effect language this would lead to, because.
So instead of higher taxes are bad, maybe, if taxes were raised, although it might burden some drivers, the resulting funds could be invested in better trains.
Perfect example. Using psi plus imperfect subjunctive and the conditional shows real grammatical range. That's high scoring.
Okay, great tip. Then finally, you need the conclusion, the bottom bun.
Yep. Wrap it up quickly. Start with a clear connector on conclusion, Pardo Razumir, to sum up. Then give one single general opinion that covers the proposals overall.
Don't introduce new points here.
No, definitely not. Just seal the sandwich. A neat finish.
Okay. Structure nailed. The how to say it. Now let's get into some practical strategies. The what you need to do to boost that score.
Right. Pro tips. Tip number one, absolutely crucial. Connectors. Discourse markers. They are the glue holding your speech together.
Making it flow.
Exactly. Use them consciously. En primer lugar, firstly, aidas, furthermore, por otro lado, on the other hand. Sin embargo, however, en cuanto a, regarding, use a variety. They signal coherence to the examiner.
Okay, connectors. What about fluency itself? Any common pitfalls?
The biggest killer is the long silent pause. When you're searching for a word or translating in your head, it really breaks the flow and hurts the fluency score.
So what's better, using a filler word like or ugh? Does that sound bad?
It's definitely better than dead silence. But use strategic fillers, ones that sound natural in Spanish.
Like what?
Things like, déjame pensar un momento. Let me think a moment. Or bueno, well. Or a ver, let's see. Or even repeating a phrase slightly like, como decía antes, as I was saying before. They buy you thinking time without sounding completely lost.
Okay, use hesitation markers naturally. Good tip. We also touched on timing for the monologue, that 2 to 3 minute window. You said being too short is bad.
Yes, it's a common mistake. People rush. If your monologue is only, say, 90 seconds, the examiners might feel you haven't developed your points enough. Depth is needed.
So practice with a timer is essential.
Absolutely. Record yourself, time that intro, the 4 evaluations with pros and cons, and the conclusion. Make sure it fits comfortably in that 120 to 180 second range. Don't rush. Elaborate a bit.
Right. Okay. Monologue's done. Phase 2 kicks in the conversation with the interviewer. How should people approach this? Is it scary?
It can feel like the pressure ramps up, but honestly, don't stress too much. The questions are often quite predictable.
Oh, really? Like what?
They usually focus on comparing the proposals you discussed. Which solution do you think is the most effective? Which is the least practical? Why?
Okay, comparison questions?
And personalization questions. They'll often ask you to relate the topic to your own experience. Is this problem common in your city or country? What solutions have been tried there?
Ah, so you can actually anticipate some of that during your prep time. Think about parallels back home.
Yes, definitely. While you're prepping Terrio 1, quickly jot down a thought or two about how the issue relates to your own context. It makes the conversation phase feel much more natural and less like an interrogation.
Good advice. And finally, practice methods. You mentioned recording yourself. It feels awkward, but it's effective.
It's incredibly effective, even if it makes you cringe at first. It's the closest you can get to simulating the exam pressure and hearing yourself as the examiner might.
Audio or video?
Both can work. Audio helps you focus on pace, pauses, pronunciation. Video adds that layer of seeing your own nonverbals, which can sometimes betray nerves.
And practicing with others.
Also great. Study groups, language exchange partners. But the gold standard, if possible, is practicing with a teacher or tutor who knows the DELE, ideally an accredited examiner. They can give you really specific feedback based on the actual grading criteria.
Right. Tailored feedback makes a difference. Okay, so let's wrap this up. What's the big takeaway for someone prepping for DELE B2, specifically Terrio 1?
I'd say it's this. Success in Terrio 1, which is a massive 35% of your analytical score, remember, isn't just about knowing Spanish words. It's about mastering the structure, that sandwich idea, and deliberately demonstrating B2 level skills. Fluency, coherence, complexity, and especially that critical evaluation of pros and cons.
It's about showing you can think critically in Spanish. Okay, final thought then. You've emphasized evaluating advantages and disadvantages. How does consciously making sure you present both sides for your chosen proposals really signal that higher level B2 competence? Why is that balance so important?
Because it demonstrates objectivity and intellectual maturity. Anyone can have a strong opinion or just describe something. But being able to step back, analyze multiple facets of several different solutions, weigh the good against the bad, and articulate that complexity using sophisticated language, that is the essence of B2 communicative competence. It shows you're not just participating in a conversation, you're capable of nuanced analysis.
A fantastic point to leave our listeners with. If you are studying Spanish and want to check out the original source material for this discussion, it was recorded in Spanish. You can find its episode 110 of the related podcast over on dillexam.com or on Spotify.
And if you're looking for DELE preparation or Spanish classes generally, feel free to reach out via email, carmenmadridonline@gmail.com.
Excellent. Remember that structure, practice those connectors, and work on balancing your arguments.
Good luck with your preparation.
We'll catch you next time. We'll be right back.